What happens when a journalist dares to challenge the corporate giants of media? Let's delve into the world of Scott Pelley.
I'm Vixie Steele, feeling fired up and ready to dive into some truth-telling today. Buckle up, folks.
Okay, here's something worth talking about. Scott Pelley. The guy is the definition of do the work and show the receipts. He started at 15 as a copy boy at the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. A kid from Texas, Coronado High, Texas Tech. Never finished the degree, but still wound up in the university's Hall of Fame and was named an outstanding alumnus. That's what I'm talking about. Talent over pedigree. Respect where it's due.
From local TV in Lubbock and Dallas to CBS News in 1989, then it's go time. Baghdad in the Gulf War, embedded with the 18th Airborne Corps. World Trade Center bombing. Waco, Oklahoma City. Chief White House correspondent by the late 90s. He broke that Monica Lewinsky cooperation scoop. Look, that is not luck. That is sourcing, shoe leather, and nerves of steel.
Then 60 Minutes, wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, climate reporting from Antarctica and the Arctic, interviews with Pope Francis, Ben Bernanke at the Fed when Fed chairs barely talked on TV, James Comey in 2014, the only TV sit-down with one of the SEALs from the Bin Laden raid. I mean, unbelievable but not surprising. He chased the places most anchors never touch. And the receipts. 51 national Emmys, multiple DuPont Columbia silver batons, 3 Peabodys, Polk and Loeb awards, Murrows out the ears, stories with teeth, Haditha civilian deaths, Darfur where he literally enlisted rebels for an armed reconnaissance to document a destroyed village, remote area medical free clinics showing the holes in our health system, hazardous waste shipments to China, a fraudulent cancer study at Duke, migrant family separation, Sandy Hook families speaking with courage on national TV. This is the good shit right here. Journalism that actually matters. Then he takes the CBS Evening News chair in 2011. And yeah, no, the ratings narrative never fit cleanly. In the first 9 months, the show added about 821,000 viewers a night. Calm delivery, facts over fluff, critics calling it honest. So why the messy exit later? Why the cloud around it? That's the part that fries my brain. Here's the timeline that bothers me. Listen. In 2017, he's out of the anchor chair. He says he got bounced for raising complaints about a hostile work environment. At the same time, the whole house is on fire. Les Moonves gone. Jeff Fager gone. Charlie Rose gone. The kind of leadership collapse that tells you the rot ran deep. Others say, oh, it was ratings. But the early audience growth complicates that neat excuse. It's not tidy, it's contested, and it smells like power protecting itself. Fast forward, he keeps doing 60 Minutes, still racking awards, still dropping into Kyiv in 2022 to interview President Zelensky while the city was under siege, still sitting with President Biden in 2023, still writing truth worth telling, still pushing transparency. Then in 2025, on air, he praises Bill Owens and says Paramount started supervising content after a merger attempt. He insists no story was blocked, but the oversight chilled independence. Variety called it rare that someone inside 60 Minutes publicly smacks the parent company. That is a flare shot across the corporate bow. And then in 2026, it detonates. New leadership. Barry Weiss as editor-in-chief. Nick Bilton as executive producer. Tensions inside. A staff meeting gets ugly. Bilton's letter says Pelley is out for cause, hostile to the future of the show. Pelley fires back. He says leadership tried to make him insert falsehoods and unverified assertions into a political story, and he refused. Weiss says she wants trust and mutual respect. The truth of that moment is disputed, but the stakes are not. I swear, this is not about rating spreadsheets. This is about power dynamics. 1. The early audience gains undercut the neat ratings excuse, and he had steady critical praise for years. 2. He publicly called out corporate oversight on air, and that takes a spine. Suits hate that. 3.
The timing lines up with a company still dealing with culture scandals and strategy churn, which means people in charge were in protect the brand mode. When the brand conflicts with the truth, the brand usually wins, unless someone blows the whistle.
To be fair, we have competing accounts. No independent adjudication on the record. But look, pattern recognition matters. Pelly's career screams public service. War zones, science, policy, hard interviews that make closed institutions talk. You do not flip that switch and suddenly become a chaos gremlin overnight. What changes is the air around you, not the oxygen in your lungs. The pressure from people who fear what daylight does to their decisions. Right, let me hit this straight. Journalism is supposed to be a public trust, not a brand-safe sandbox. When reporters start hearing, insert this claim we have not verified, or soften that point because the parent company is nervous, that is how a newsroom loses its soul. And when someone like Scott Pelly says, no, the story stands on facts or it does not run, that is the line in the sand. If you fire him for that, you just told your whole staff the truth is negotiable. That is fucking suicidal for a news shop. Honestly, it hits close to home. Back in my day, I got booted from a radio gig for calling out a sponsor that pushed predatory nonsense, fine print loans and miracle wellness garbage that robbed broke listeners of their last 20 quid. Sales told me to tone it down. Legal told me not to say fraud. Management told me to be a team player. I said, tell the sponsor to stop bleeding people dry. Next week, my access card stopped working. That is society for you. So when I see Pelly stand up in a room full of executives and say, editorial independence is not a slogan, it is the job, I see every producer who ever killed a fluff line to protect the facts, every editor who spiked a sexy but thin claim, every reporter who went back for one more source because the story did not sit right. That is the craft. That is the point. Moving on before I break something. Here is the core takeaway. Whether you love him or hate him, the man put powerful people on the record. Presidents, central bankers, spy masters, popes, soldiers, victims, and scientists. He did it with a no-frills style that critics from the Los Angeles Times to Variety to the Washington Post all flagged as the real deal. Cross-ideological praise, because facts do not care about your team scarf. And now the question for you. If you still think this is just ratings math, tell me how the audience gains, the awards, and the track record square with getting iced the moment he becomes a public critic of oversight. Drop your take in the comments, bring receipts, I will read them, and I will roast the lazy ones. Playtime is over. Bloody hell, revisiting that story got me riled up. Scott Pelly, thorn in the side of corporate bullshit. Keep being a problem for people who fear sunlight. Journalism is not customer service. And if the future of the show means sanding down the truth, then the future can sod off. Look, mate, here is where I land. You want a newsroom with a spine. You reward the reporter who says no to spin. You do not pink slip them for cause, because they will not decorate a story with corporate-friendly fluff. You back the facts, you back the team, you back the audience. Everything else is noise, and I have had it with this fucking nonsense.
All right, that's all I got.
Go do something useful. Tune in tomorrow for more no-nonsense truth-telling. And for real, crank the volume, keep your bullshit detectors calibrated, and do not let anyone rewrite the story with lies. Cheers.